Thank you for the invitation this evening. Just to give you a little context on myself and the piece I'm about to read. For over the past 10 years, I've been a professor working in schools in New York. I was at Duke University. I taught here at Pitt. My last full-time academic job was at Duke University. And like a writer that I was, being in an academic space really constricted the authentic voice I wanted to share my stories with through my research. It began to get confined through methodologies and theoretical frameworks. And so first artist I met when moving to Pittsburgh was Dr. Tamika Cage Conley, who found my work and pushed me as a former academic herself to really think about this transition from this academic intellectual space into this more artistic space. And so the first piece that I've written was a short story for this memoir I'm writing about growing up in the South Bronx. It's called Menida, which is the street I grew up on in the Hunts Point section of the South Bronx. There's a section in there called Sons of the Boogie. Boogie, short for the South Bronx, the Boogie Down Bronx. And so it's really a collection of stories, childhood stories of me and my friends growing up. So like many of you, probably when you were kids, you all stole something from somewhere. So this is our story of what we consider one of our greatest heists. I'm a big fan of heist films, one of them being Ocean's 11, which I kind of reference in this piece. Another part of my storytelling is language and the vernacular I use. I use a lot of Bronx language as well as a lot of Spanish in there, the Spanish culture that we have in the Bronx. I start off with a quote from Ocean's 11. Off the top of my head, I see you looking at a Boski, a Jim Brown, a Miss Daisy, two Jeffros, a Leon Spinks, and not to mention the biggest Ella Fitzgerald ever. We were cool, real cool. Not a Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr. type of cool. More like a Geechee Sway, Sonny Chiba cool. A boogie down version of the Rat Pack. Part sophistication, a hint of wittiness, a twist of Taino, and a splash of BX for that extra oomph. Instead of custom-fitted suits and silk ties, we rock clean tees, crispy jeans, and fresh pairs of kicks. The only things that were fitted were our baseball caps. Our aura was the epitome of slick. Hell, we even made Chico sticks and quarter waters look as suave as cigarettes and half-filled glasses of whiskey poured over a few perfectly shaped cubes of ice. Our whole crew clicked like crickets. We were smoother than George Clooney and those other cats from Ocean's 11. We were Menida's 11. Gilbert, Jose, Angel, Ryan, SB, Juan, and myself. Not quite 11, but enough to successfully pull off Menida's ultimate heist. It started off with Gilbert. No, wait, was it Ryan? Or was it Angel? Could have been SB. Not. Nah, SB was too quiet, so it definitely wasn't him. It was Jose. Yeah, it had to be Jose. He was the wild one. Well, now that I think about it, was it Juan? Maybe it was me. Truth is, I don't remember who came up with the idea for the heist. I don't think it matters. That's why I love this memory. We were Ocean's 11 without Danny Ocean, the A-team minus John Hannibal Smith. This was not your typical heist. There wasn't a main protagonist, leader, or mastermind. Just the seven of us driven by a love of seeing a plan come together. Our plan? Boost an 8-count box of assorted donuts. Our target? Chuito's Corner Store. Yeah, I know it's not as sexy as stealing $150 million from a Las Vegas casino, but to us, this had the workings of one of the greatest heists in U.S. history. The level of difficulty in getting a box of donuts past the clerk and out of the door without being detected is equivalent to sneaking the Mona Lisa out of the Louvre. This was not a simple smash and grab job. It was more complex than discreetly slipping a piece of candy into your pocket. Stealing a box of donuts required a calculated plan with stealth execution. Our plan, flawless. The execution, impeccable. Of course, in retrospect, it's easy to argue such knowing we didn't get busted. So much could have gone wrong considering our heist was conceived on the spur of the moment impulse. The sudden rush of adrenaline blinded us to all potential risk of a failed operation. But the spontaneity of the moment left little room for second guessing. We didn't consider the consequences of shoplifting, or worse, the ass kickings our parents would have given us for stealing. We had to do this. This was no longer about the donuts. In fact, this was never about the donuts. We each had the money to buy our own box. We were thrill seekers. The box of donuts simply raised the stakes. The timing was perfect. It was the middle of a hot summer afternoon. We had spent the first part of the day playing baseball at Menida Park, and now we were taking our customary break on the corner of Menida and Spofford. Collectively, we made our way toward Chuito's. Since Chuito's was our local corner store, there was nothing suspicious with six of us coming in at once. Juan and Ryan made their way to the drink coolers in the back of the store, while SB and Angel went to the chip rack station near the middle. Jose stood up front at the end of the counter's clerk, browsing the candy, while I stood at the other end of the counter nearest the door. As we strategically position ourselves, Gilbert waited patiently outside, right around the corner, with one hand extended toward the entrance of the store, but out of the clerk's line of sight. Angel and Espy were up first. They inconspicuously stood in between the chip rack and the shelf where the box of donuts sat. As Espy shuffled through the chips, Angel casually turned around toward the shelf with the boxes of donuts. Juan, who was watching Angel's every move, nudged Ryan as he pretended to look for something to drink in the cooler. Ryan pulled out a tropical fantasy soda and yelled to the clerk, "Miro, ¿cuánto es?" How much is this? As the clerk directed his attention to Ryan, Angel quickly grabbed the box of donuts off the shelf. With the donuts now in Angel's possession, Espy picked two bags of chips off the rack and proceeded to the counter to pay. Espy, with a bag of Wise barbecue potato chips in one hand and a bag of plantain chips in the other, calmly walked up to the counter, screening Angel, who was following close behind. As Angel veiled the box of donuts from the clerk with his forearm, Espy placed the chips on the counter, only while Ryan pulled out one of those cartons of juice that resembled a miniature gallon of milk from the cooler, and again asked the clerk, "¿Cuánto es?" Between Espy trying to pay for his chips and Ryan's pseudo-price checks, the clerk was too distracted to notice Angel passing me the box of donuts. I held the box of donuts in my hand closest to the door, glanced over to Jose, and gave him the nod. Jose immediately turned to the clerk and asked, "Can I get a pack of sunflower seeds and a pack of annihilators?" As the clerk kneeled down to get the seeds and candy, I quickly placed a box of donuts in Gilbert's extended hand. Just like Usain Bolt anchoring the World Championship 4x100 relays, Gil grabbed that box of donuts like a baton and sprinted down the block to his house. Gil not only crossed the finish line and won the gold, but also set a new world record. It still baffles me to this day how Gilbert fell into the role of a getaway guy. Angel, by far, was the fastest of anyone on our crew. Gil wasn't necessarily slow. He was a big kid, quick for his size, but not really fast. Now, Angel was fast, really fast. I mean, like, pyong fast. If y'all wondering where pyong comes from, those old Roadrunner cartoons. So that's how we describe speed to another level. That pyong. Say it with me. See, it's an amazing thing to say. Legend has it that there's nothing faster than a pyong. But on this afternoon, Gil took speed to a new level. Right after the hikes, we sat on Gilbert's stoop in silence, savoring every moment of our success. Still to this day, it's a mystery what happened to that box of donuts. We didn't eat them, I know that for sure. Maybe we gave the donuts away to some little kids down the block or got rid of the evidence by tossing the box in the trash. I was telling the truth when I said this was never about the donuts. Our goal was the thrill of the moment, hoping not to get caught, and we didn't. We never stole anything else from Chuito since that afternoon, but our heist was a bucket list item to a bunch of kids who thought they would live forever. We all got to check that one off together. After a few minutes, Ryan broke the silence. "Damn, kid, you was ghost." Jose, still in unbelief of how fast Gilbert took off, looked at Gil and said, "You was gone with the wind." Gilbert, without a drop of sweat on his forehead or pant in his breath, smoothly replied, "Nah, kid, I was gone with the donuts." A few years after our heist, we one by one began moving from the block. Keep in mind, this was long before Facebook, Instagram, or Snapchat, so when we moved away, many of us lost contact with one another. Until June 29, 2011. After reconnecting on Facebook years later, Gilbert and I met up at Yankee Stadium. It was surreal. There we were, a cool summer evening watching the Yankees host the Brewers. 15 years had passed since I last spoken to Gil, and all I could think about was that damn donut story. To hell with catching up on family and life, I want to know if you remember that time he, Angel, Ryan, Espy, Juan, Jose, and myself stole a box of donuts from Chuitos. He had to remember. I needed him to remember. For years, all I had from my days of growing up on Oneida were the stories. But as time passed, the memories began to fade. As the memories faded, I questioned how much of my childhood was factual. I loved my Oneida memories and needed confirmation they indeed happened, the exact way I remembered. But I was too scared to ask Gil. What if he didn't remember? Nearly 20 years since that summer afternoon, there's a good chance he may not. I cherish that donut story. If the slightest detail of that story is incorrect, then that memory needed to be laid to rest. This was bigger than just one childhood memory. This was about an entire anthology of childhood memories. I dreaded knowing the truth about our donut heist experience, because if that memory had to go, then I feared how many more memories that I'd have to bury along with it. What would that mean for my childhood? For 5.5 innings, I wrestled with whether or not I would risk asking Gilbert if he remembered the time we stole that box of donuts. Then in the bottom of the 6th inning, with one out, nobody on, Jorge Posada at the plate with an 0-1 count, Gilbert turned to me and smoothly said, "Yo, kid, I was gone with the donuts." Yeah, he was. Thank you.